Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening to the recorded on a later date. Sabbath blessing everyone on this beautiful Sabbath, June 29, 2024. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room. This is our review of our chapter 80 entitled In Joseph's Tomb, part 4. Of our lesson 411. Welcome to all the precious family that are just coming in. We are going to ask our dear brother to bless us with the tiny top theme hymn entitled, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. It's number 196 if you have the hymn book.
Tell me the old, oh man, I'm off on a wrong tune. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply, as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story softly, with earnest tones and grave. Remember I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the same old story, when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when this world's glory is drawing on my soul, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes thee whole. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, to be able to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou thy labor and do all thy work, and the 7 days the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. Father God, please protect Father God, please protect the people who is not here and is here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to take a few minutes to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in their household, helping their mom, their dad, their family members, or even the neighborhood. If you would like to share your testimony, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Have a blessings, everyone. For today's Mommy's and Daddy's Little Helper, I would like to highlight Haley and Emma. They're both still in the process of learning to do their little chores, but they're taking it a little bit more seriously, having more of a routine, making their beds, cleaning up their areas. It is a work in progress, but I do praise the Lord for the progress that is being made, and that's what I'd like to share.
Is there any other family that would like to share the blessings in their home? You may share it, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everyone. So last week, you know, Danielle had gotten her car accident and coached her car. She is fine, and the Lord allowed her to be able to purchase a new car yesterday. She's having a little bit of fear of driving, but she will overcome that as well.
Amen. We will be keeping her in prayer as well, dear sister. And Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are just joining us. It's talk time, and we are going to review our first part of a lesson of the new chapter that we do have in the story about Jesus, chapter 19, entitled Judas. And our dear brother will share.
The Bible lesson, Bible verse for our lesson is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 27, and Exodus 21. What's the matter for me? I can't see what you're looking at today. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests. And Exodus 21:28 says, if an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit, because he won't owe anything else. But if the ox were wont to push or butt with his horn in times past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in or tied him up, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall surely be stoned, and his owner shall be put to death. Well, you better take care of your oxen. If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him. If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. 30 pieces of silver was the price of a servant. The Jewish rulers had been anxious to get Jesus into their power, but for fear of raising a tumult among the people, they had not dared to take him openly. So they had sought someone who would secretly betray him, and had found him, and had found in Judas, one of the 12 disciples, a man who would do this very act. Judas was naturally had a strong love for money. He just couldn't get enough of it. But he had not always been wicked and corrupt enough to do such a deed as this. He had fostered the evil spirit of avarice until it had become the ruling motive of his life. And he could now sell his Lord for 30 pieces of silver, approximately $17. At what time, I don't know, because the value of silver, according in comparison to our dollar, changes up and down. A piece of silver back then, I think, was a shekel, and that was a quarter of an ounce, I think. And now an ounce of silver goes for $50 or $60, something like that. So it was quite a price. It was the price of a slave, Exodus 21:28-32. He could now betray the Savior with a kiss in Gethsemane. But he followed every step of the Son of God as he went from the garden to the trial before the Jewish rulers. He had no thought that the Savior would allow the Jews to kill him, as they had threatened to do. Next slide, please. At every moment he expected to see him released and protected by divine power, as had been done in the past. But as the hours went by and Jesus quietly submitted to all the indignities that were heaped upon him, a terrible fear came to the traitor that he had indeed betrayed his master to his death. As the trial drew to a close, Judas could endure the torture of his guilty conscience no longer. All at once there rang out through the hall a hoarse voice, which sent a thrill of terror to the hearts of all present. "He is innocent! Spare him, O Caiaphas! He has done nothing worthy of death." This is taken from the story of Jesus, pages 119 to 121.
And we will learn more in our part 2 of our chapter, Judas, and that will take place July 6th. I'm going to continue to let our dear brother review the questions.
All right. What did Judas naturally had a strong love for? What did he have a strong love for?
And the answer for number one is money.
He wanted money. Do you suppose all he wanted was a bottle full of coins? Oh, no. He had that on his belt. He wanted more. How much did Judas sell his Lord for? How much is it worth today?
The answer to number two is for 30 pieces of silver, about $17.
30 pieces of silver. He sold his Lord for the price of a slave. Didn't put much value on Jesus, did he? He'd have thought he'd have told the Sanhedrin, "Look, I want $1,000. This is a special person." And who knows? They might have given it to him. But he said, "I'll take 17 bucks or 30 pieces of silver." What did Judas say sadly?
The answer to number three is, "He is innocent. Spare him, O Caiaphas."
He's innocent. Spare him, O Caiaphas. And I believe we'll probably learn in the following lessons what answer he got to that plea. Okay? Thank you for participating.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time for the family and guests and everyone that are here, the Remnant family as well, to be able to review what they have absorbed in nature through God's creation in our topic, Moments of the Bible Review, and our dear brother Josh will be the one to share.
God bless you, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning the mammals of the Bible. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book of Luke chapter 15. The lesson is lesson 3, the Good Shepherd. Verses 1 to 5 says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Nature is the mammals of the Bible, domestic, sheep, and the character quality is care versus indifference. Care is to have an interest and concern about another person as Christ cares about me, or all of us, actually. The 100 sheep. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear of him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Luke 15:1-5. In the parable, the shepherd goes out to search for one sheep, the very least that can be numbered. So if there had been but one lost soul, Christ would have died for that one. The sheep that has strayed from the fold is the most helpless of all creatures. It must be sought for by the shepherd, for it cannot find its way back. So the soul that has wandered away from God, he is as helpless as the lost sheep. And unless divine love had come to his rescue, he can never find his way to God. The shepherd who discovers that one of his sheep is missing does not look carelessly upon the flock by a safety house and say, "I have 99, it will cost me too much trouble to go in search of the stray one. Let him come back, and I will open the door of the sheepfold and let him in." No sooner does the sheep go astray than the shepherd is filled with grief and anxiety. He counts and recounts the flock. When he is sure that one sheep is lost, he slumbers not. He leaves the 99 within the fold and goes in search of the straying sheep. The darker and more tempestuous the night, the more perilous the way. The greater is the shepherd's anxiety, and the more earnest his search. He maketh every effort to find that one lost sheep. With what relief he hears in the distance its first faint cry. Following the sound, he climbs the steepest height. He goes to the very edge of the precipice at the risk of his own life. Thus he searches while the cry, grown fainter, tells him that his sheep is ready to die. At last, his effort is rewarded. The lost is found. Then he does not scold it because it has caused him so much trouble. He does not drive it with a whip. He does not even try to lead it home. In his joy, he takes the trembling creature upon his shoulders. If it is bruised and wounded, he gathers it in his arms, pressing it close to his bosom, that the warmth of his own heart may give it light. The lost sheep are tracked by tufts of wool, left in briars or thorns. It says below, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121:4. With gratitude that his search has not been in vain, he bears it back to the full. Five subject lessons, pages 187 to 188. The word 100 represents a large flock in Bible times. The sheep represent a sinner or a lost soul, and the shepherd represents Jesus. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Isaiah 40:11. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughter shall be carried upon their shoulders. Isaiah 49:22. Do you care about the lost sheep? And we ought to. And parent study is Christ Object Lessons, pages 186 to 192, and the Desire of Ages, pages 476 to 484. Do more research about care or caring. Mammals says in this part, the mammals of the Bible, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is last until he find it? Luke 15:4. Jesus is the good shepherd and cares for his sheep. The sheepfold is a place of safety for sheep or people. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. It says here concerning the cow or parsnip, whose scientific name is Paraclea maximum, or a PSCI. A cow parsnip is a native to North America, being prevalent in Alaska, most of Canada, and the U.S., but absent in the Gulf states. It grows in a variety of habitats, including fields, meadows, shores of lakes and rivers, and alpine and subalpine areas, as well as disturbed sites. Cow parsnip grows up to 8 feet, 2.5 meters tall, has a distinctive smell, unpleasant to many, that reminds me of a pungent parsnip. And the flower is the large white umbels are one foot, or 0.3 meters across, flat or rounded. Contain 15 to 30 smaller umbels, each consisting of many small flowers. They usually bloom in late spring and early summer. In the leaf, compound leaves are large, up to 2 feet, or 0.6 meters, across, and have 3 leaflets, growing alternately up stems with 1 leaf per node. Leaf blades are lobed or toothed and lobed. Ridged hollow stems can be pinkish purple, and the base is sheathed. The edible parts of this plant are the peeled young stems and shoots, and the young leaves, the flower buds, before they open seeds. And its key medicinal uses may help infection and respiratory illness. But here's a warning. The saps in stems and leaves can cause burn-like blisters, worse when skin is also exposed to sun. Always wear gloves when handling the plant and rinse them well in water, as the blistering compounds react with sun and sweat, which can be avoided with a few simple precautions. Taken from the Forager's Guide to Wild Foods, book by Nicole Apelian, PhD. Next is the purple foxglove. In the two pictures above of the reading, it says the poisonous and toxic lookalikes. And the scientific name for the purple foxglove is the Digitalis purpurea. Purple foxglove, or Digitalis purpurea, aka the common foxglove or lady's glove, is a biennial plant with tall flower stalks and tightly clustered, tubular, downward-facing blossoms. Blossom colors include cream, pink, purple, red, yellow, and white, often accented by throats of a lighter hue or speckles and mottling. Digitalis is a genus in the plant Pontogenaceae, or plantain family, that contains about 20 recognized species. D. purpurea is suited to cultivation as a biennial in the USDA hardiness zones 4 to 9 as an annual in all temperate zones. It grows as a short-lived perennial wildflower in coastal regions of the Pacific Northwest. A note of caution, all parts of this plant are poisonous. It contains cardiac glycosides that are toxic to people and pets if ingested. While extracts of the leaves are used by knowledgeable practitioners in medicinal applications, ingesting this plant has potentially lethal consequences. And taken from the gardenerspath.com/plants/flowers/glove/foxglove. Next is the box turtles. It says here that the turtle's safe home can remind us that God promises a safe, secure place for his children to live. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Isaiah 32:18. And it says below the picture, the female turtle knows when it's time to lay her eggs. She may even put her life in danger to do it. The reptiles that lay eggs can remind us of how Jesus lived. He planted many seeds, or eggs, representatively, of love and truth in the hearts of people that will continue to develop after his death. In these three squares, there's put up the steps of how the turtles lay the eggs. One, as the turtle knows when it's time to lay her eggs, so the man who made the great supper sent his servants to let the guests know it was time for the feast. Two, after covering the eggs, the female turtle goes away, never to return to the eggs or the babies that hatch from them. Three, in Oriental lands, it is a custom to send a messenger a short time before the feast begins to remind the guests of the time. Next is the evergreen tree from below. It says, for the evergreen tree, what makes an evergreen Christian? Seek to be an evergreen tree. Wear the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Cherish the grace of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This is the fruit of a Christian tree planted by the rivers of water. It always brings forth its fruit in due season. Manuscript releases, H39, 1896. And next is the lesson concerning the butterfly and the blue morpho butterfly and the polyphemus moth. Nature, butterflies and moths. Butterflies and moths belong to one of the largest insect families, Lepidoptera. The word insect comes from a word which means in sections or parts. This family has members that are the most beautiful of all insects. The scales on their wings set butterflies and moths apart from all other insects. God gave Israel his beautiful law of love to set his people apart from all the rest of the people in the world. Butterflies' beautifully colored scales overlap each other in rows on the wings. In this way, they make a lovely armor of protection for the wings. In the same way, the principles found in the Ten Commandments overlap each other and combine to form the Christian's armor. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Romans 13:12-13. When butterflies or moths are handled, their scales rub off as colored powder. This can affect their ability to fly smoothly. The children of Israel need to be careful not to lose any part of God's law, such as honesty, so that their flight to Canaan would not be made more difficult. Just as the beautifully colored armor-like scales on the butterfly's wings may be damaged by handling, so we should be careful not to lay hands upon God's Ten Commandments and thus lose part of them. We should give up the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in the craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 4:2. God has many parts of his character, and one which is very beautiful and honest. As the children of Israel reviewed the law, they were reminded, because of Achan, about honesty and its importance. Do you understand the importance of honesty? Finally, the geese. The geese fly together in flocks that make a V formation. The leader is always at the point of the V. The geese flying behind the leader have an easier time of flying because of the windbreak the leader makes as he cuts through the air. And Nigel would have had a much easier time if he had been going to follow the lead of Solomon. The geese teaches that being the leader carries with it the job of service to others. Solomon, with his character quality of unselfishness, was fit to be a leader who was a really servant of God's people. Adonijah selfishly wanted to be the highest in Israel when God already chosen Solomon to be king. Continue our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible in our lesson review, taken from our youth study book, Five Subject Lessons. Chapter 15, This Man Receiveth Ships. It angered them also that those who showed only contempt for the rabbis and who were never seen in the synagogue should flock about Jesus and listen with rapt attention to his words. The scribes and Pharisees felt only condemnation in that pure presence. How was it then that publicans and sinners were to draw on Jesus? Christ's Object Lessons, pages 1, J6, paragraph 1. They knew not the that the explanation lay in the very words they had uttered as a scornful charge. This man received sinners. The souls who came to Jesus felt in his presence that even for them there was escape from the pit of sin. The Pharisees had only scorn and condemnation for them, but Christ greeted them as children of God, estranged indeed from the Father's house, but not forgotten by the Father's heart. And their very misery and sin made them only the more the objects of his compassion. The farther they had wandered from him, the more earnest the longing and the greater the sacrifice for their rescue. Class Object Lessons, page 186, paragraph 2. All of this the teacher, continuing, all of this the teachers of Israel might have learned from the sacred scrolls, of which it was their pride to be the keepers and expounders. I am not David written, David, who has fallen into deadly sin. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Psalm 119:176. Had not Micah revealed God's love to the sinner, saying, Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Micah 7:18, Christ's Object Lessons, page 186, paragraph 3. The lost sheep. Christ now at this time reminds his hearers of the words of Scripture. He appealed to the witness of their own experience. The widespread tableland on the east of Jordan afforded abundant pasturage for flocks, and through the gorges and over the wooded hills had wandered many a lost sheep. to be searched for and brought back by the shepherd's care. In the company about Jesus, there were shepherds, and also men who had money invested in flocks and herds, and all could appreciate his illustration. One man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until you find it. Christ's object lesson is page 186, paragraph 4. Leave you. There are three bonus questions. Question one is, how did Jesus teach the Pharisees and scribes care for the publicans and sinners? The answer is in Luke 15, 3-5. Question two, tell the parable of the one lost sheep that was in today's lesson. Three, what does it mean to care? And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. And remember, little ones, tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love. Welcome to all the precious family that came in and those that are coming in. This is our hymn to our theme. It's entitled Because He Lives. And if you have the hymn book, you will find it in 526. If you would like to join us singing the hymn there once, you may unmute your mic to do so. God sent his son, they call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He live and die. To buy my pardon, an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, our fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
How sweet hope a newborn baby, it fills the pride and joys he gives. But greatest is the common sorrow this child can face on certain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Life is worth the living just because you live.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a promise. And life is worth the living just because he lives. If any one of the little one, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our family review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. Please protect the word of us and the word. Please protect me as you repeat us, God, here they can come back to the Sabbath. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Colossians 3. Verses 1 through 4, King James Version margin. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For ye are dead, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. So what we have learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear the answer to the question, we're going to take a few minutes to reread part one of our lesson entitled In Joseph's Tomb, Part 5, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Welcome to all dear ones that are coming in or already came in. We are in The Desire of Ages, page 775. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones, continuing?
Many minds were busy with thoughts started by the scenes of Calvary. From the crucifixion to the resurrection, many sleepless eyes were constantly searching the prophecies, some to learn the full meaning of the feast they were then celebrating, some to find evidence that Jesus was not what he claimed to be. And others with sorrowful hearts were searching for proofs that he was the true Messiah. Next slide. Continuing, though searching with different objects in view, all were convicted of the same truth. That prophecy had been fulfilled in the events of the past few days, and that the crucified one was the world's redeemer. Many who at that time united in the service never again took part in the paschal rite. Many even of the priests were convicted of the true character of Jesus. Their searching of the prophecies
had not been in vain, and after his resurrection, they acknowledged him as the Son of God. Sign of Ages, page 775, paragraph 1.
Nicodemus, when he saw Jesus, lifted up on the cross, remembered his words spoken by night in the Mount of Olives. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3, 14 and 15. On that Sabbath, when Christ laid in the grave, Nicodemus had opportunity for reflection. And continue on the next slide, please. A clearer light now illuminated his mind, and the words which Jesus had spoken to him were no longer mysterious. He felt that he had lost much by connecting himself with the Savior during his life. Now he recalled the events of Calvary, the prayer of Christ for his murderers, and his answer to the petition of the dying thief spoke to the heart of the learned counselor. And continue on the next slide, please. Again he looked upon the Savior in his agony. Again he heard that last cry, "It is finished," spoken like the words of a conqueror. Again he beheld the reeling earth, the darkened heavens, the rent veil, the shivered rocks, and his faith was forever established. The very event that destroyed the hopes of the disciples convinced Joseph and Nicodemus of the divinity of Jesus. Their fears were overcome by the courage of a firm and an unwavering faith. The Desire of Ages, page 775, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 776. Never had Christ attracted the attention of the multitude as now that he was laid in the tomb. According to their practice, the people brought their sick and suffering ones to the temple courts, inquiring, "Who can tell us of Jesus of Nazareth?" Many had come from far to find him who had healed the sick and raised the dead. On every side was heard the cry, "We want Christ the healer." On this occasion, those who were thought to show indications of the leprosy were examined by the priests. Next slide. Many were forced to hear their husbands, wives, or children pronounced leprous and doomed to go forth from the shelter of their homes and the care of their friends to warn off the stranger with the mournful cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" The friendly hands of Jesus of Nazareth that never refused to touch with healing, and the loathsome leper were folded on his breast. The lips that had answered his petition with the comforting words, "I will, be thou clean," Matthew 8, verse 3, were now silent.
The Desire of Ages, page 776, continuing, many appealed to the chief priests and rulers for sympathy and relief, but in vain. Apparently they were determined to having the living Christ among them again. With persistent earnestness they asked for him, they would not be turned away. But they were driven from the temple courts, and soldiers were stationed at the gates to keep back the multitude that came with their sick and dying, demanding entrance. Desire of Ages, page 776, paragraph 1.
The sufferer who had come to be healed by the Savior sank under their disappointment. The streets were filled with mourning. The sick were dying for want of the healing touch of Jesus. Physicians were consulted in vain. There was no skill like that of him who lay in Joseph's tomb. The Desire of Ages, page 776, paragraph 2.
The mourning cries of the suffering ones brought home to thousands of minds the conviction that a great light had gone out of the world. Without Christ, the earth was blackness and darkness. Many whose voices had swelled the cry of crucify him, crucify him, now realized the calamity that had fallen upon them and would as eagerly have cried, give us Jesus, had he still been alive. Desire of Ages, page 776, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone and little ones. What have we learned in ways we have grown? We are going to ask your answer to these six questions that we held from the first part of our lesson. We will reread it for those that are not able to see the screen. You may be any devices, but if you're moved to share your answer, dear ones, you may use your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters of this part? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did it take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to use your mic, dear ones, you could do so. Otherwise, you can place your answer in the chat. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
Jesus.
Who is the main character or characters?
Jesus, the disciples, and the people.
I'd like to add for number one also, along with Jesus and the disciples, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. For the answer for number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? The main idea is Jesus crucified. And we also saw the ramifications of that. That those that were healed and who believed upon him or didn't believe upon him went to search the scriptures, and they were all impressed by the Holy Spirit that he is the promised Messiah, or he was the promised Messiah. So.
The answer to question three, where the story takes place, Joseph's tomb and the temple.
Number four is when Christ, after Christ's death.
My answer to question five is, how do you relate to the story? Is, although Jesus' goal was done, the people had a qualm about their choice. Though they witnessed everything that happened at Calvary, and although they demanded him to be crucified, now that he was dead, it seems many people were, start to regret the choices as things were all out of order. But through it all, Christ had accomplished his goal, and many are now Even the Pharisees are even hope, regretted the choice they made now that they, what they wanted it came to pass.
Would anyone would like to share also their answer for number 5?
There was a sharp contrast after the Savior died, the way how the priests and Pharisees treated the sick, as opposed to how Christ treated them. He never scorned them and literally put his hand on them and was willing to heal them, while the priests and Pharisees will put the scarlet letter on them or scorn them, and everybody would just, they would be driven from their homes. They couldn't even be in the safety of their homes. So that was a very sharp contrast.
For number 6, something stood out to me, just piggybacking from what our dear Sister Grace just mentioned about how after the death of Christ, the people would have gladly chosen Christ had he been alive. And we see that they were driven out of the temple to go about, that all their efforts of trying to find healing or comfort was in vain. But it is not just for that time, it is for the time to come as well. That if we don't live according to how the Lord would have us live, that the words will be pronounced upon us, that he knew us not. And it was very solemn to see in that moment when they were turned away from the temple. It's a very deep lesson for us to be able to take heed, for we never know when that time will come, if we will be found wanting, as we see these people were found wanting. And that's what I learned from this lesson.
Amen.
I also would like to add that something comes to my mind, and it's like a song, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." A lot of them came looking for the Lord, and he was nowhere to be found. It was almost too late for them to be healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord also. I would like to highlight a little bit of what came to be a very precious lesson in this particular part 4. The time that Jesus was laying in the tomb, it was a time for everyone to reflect. Not only those that was impressed or those that was healed or those that had rejected them, and also those that were still trying to find a way to know if he was the Messiah. In that time, when the Lord was laid in the tomb, we saw also how Joseph of Arimathea started to examine. It also was all of the individuals that were healed by Christ. They also had to reflect on his life. That's why there was many story and many team of what the Lord had done. But the most critical one was that the only one that could be able to remove leprosy, because leprosy, it was like a parable to what sin was. It was Jesus. Leprosy separates their family because they had to completely remove themselves, and wherever the leper was considered the place of the dead because it was so highly contagious. And Jesus was the only one that can be able to remove sin. Therefore, that particular disease was the most dreadful one, because it removed everyone, all the loved ones. And they even had to announce when they was coming close, because they didn't want anybody to be actually contaminated, or to be able to warn as they was going through. The beautiful thing about that I saw also is that there is a story in the Bible where it tells you that this particular leper that was convicted, knowing that Jesus was the only one that healed him, it was when he was coming towards Jesus, there were so many people there, and people was actually opening their way for him to be able to move. But the concentration that he had, focus, that Jesus was the only one that can be able to bring healing towards him, is the same thing that we are going to experience, that whenever it is that the Lord convicts our heart of anything, many around or many they may not know, don't know what it is that is in your heart, but the Savior does. And there's always a clear path for us to go boldly to the throne of grace, that the Lord will give us healing as well. And this is what I have seen and I have learned. And I pray to God that it doesn't matter what it is that is happening in our lives, in the world, in circumstances, keep your focus and your heart and your mind centered upon Christ. He's in the most holy place now. And we should continue to pray and ask the Lord to give us the strength, the courage, and the boldness to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, because it's going to require power. The Lord is the one that allow his Father to draw us close to Christ, but it's Christ's strength, his merit, and also his love is what allows us to come humbly before him. And that's what I have learned in this particular part of our study. Is there anybody else that would like to share before we move on, dear ones? Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Now we are going to continue with the thoughts and poem and special music. Does, if somebody want to be able to speak, I will bubble them. Okay, we will continue. Our thought is taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, but this is in chapter 73, entitled, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That will be in page 667, paragraph 5. It's supposed to be 1 through 4. Sorry, I apologize for the typo. Our opening scripture to our study is taken from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 14 to 15. And it reads, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, the commandments. Who would like to take the first paragraph in our thoughts, dear one?
In my name. No, go ahead, Jesus.
No, go ahead.
In my name, Christ bade his disciples pray. In Christ's name, his followers are to stand before God for the value of the sacrifice made for them. They are of value in the Lord's sight. Because of the imputed righteousness of Christ, they are accounted precious. For Christ's sake, the Lord pardons those that fear him. He does not see in them the vileness, the sinner. He recognizes in them the likeness of his Son, in whom they believe. Desire of Ages, page 667, paragraph 5.
The Lord is disappointed when people place a low estimate upon themselves. He desires his chosen heritage to value themselves according to the price he has placed upon them. God wanted them, else he would not have sent his Son on such an expensive errand to redeem them. He has a use for them, and he is well pleased when they make the very highest demands upon him, that they may glorify his name. They may expect large things if they have faith in his promises. Desire of Ages, page 668, paragraph.
But to pray in Christ's name means much. It means that we are to accept his character, manifest his spirit, and work his works. The Savior's promise is given on condition. If ye love me, he says, keep my commandments. He saves men not in sin, but from sin. And those who love him will show their love by obedience. Desire of Ages, page 668, paragraph 2.
All true obedience comes from the heart. It was hard work with Christ. And if we consent, he will so identify himself with our thoughts and aims, so blend our hearts and minds into conformity to his will, that when obeying him, we shall be but carrying out our own impulses. The will refined and sanctified will find its highest delight in doing service. When we know God as it is our privilege to know him, our life will be a life of continual obedience. Through an appreciation of the character of Christ, through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. The Savages, Ages, 668, paragraph 3.
As Christ lived the law in humanity, so we may do if we take hold of the strong for strength. But we are not to place the responsibility of our duty upon others and wait for them to tell us what to do. We cannot depend for counsel upon humanity. The Lord will teach us our duty just as only as he will teach somebody else. If we come to him in faith, we will speak his mysteries to us personally. Our hearts will often burn within us as one draws nigh to commune with us as he did with Enoch. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know after representing their case before him just what course to pursue, and they will receive not only wisdom but strength, power for obedience for service will be imparted to them as Christ has promised. Whatever was given to Christ, the all things, to supply the need of fallen men, was given to him as the head and representative of humanity. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:22, Desire of Ages, page 668, paragraph 4.
Our reflection, John 14, verse 27, King James Version. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we also have a poem, and it's entitled A Child's Prayer. This is taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson, page 63, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of the Homes, pulling up from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
Number 1, Gentle Shepherd, pity me, while in faith I look to thee, weak and powerless I am, save, oh save, thy little lamb. Keep me safe from every harm with thy own almighty arm.
When the storms of life arise, when the flock in terror flies, gentle shepherd, then be near. Keep me from the fate I fear. Then when powerless I am, save, oh save, thy little lamb.
When the tempter we behold, when he seeks the peaceful hold, ere by sin I be distressed, lead me to some place of rest. Thus, O Christ, where'er I am, love and save thy little lamb.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. Our special music is taken from also our lesson book, the Desirable Nation CD. And in the section of encouraging quote, is taken from page 668, paragraph 3, from the Spirit of Prophecy.
All true obedience comes from the heart. It was heart work with Christ, and if we consent, He will so identify Himself with our thoughts and aims. So blend our hearts and minds into conformity to His will, that when obeying Him we shall be not carrying out the will refined and sanctified, will find its highest delight in doing His service, when we know God as it is our privilege to know. Our life will be a life of continual obedience through an appreciation of the character of Christ. Through communion with God, sin will become hateful to us. Desire of Ages, page 668.
We are going to take the moment after our services. If you would like to share your testimony or anything you would like to share with your dear Remnant brothers and sisters, we will do it after the services. We have come to the ending of our review section. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will continue with part 6 of our chapter 80, entitled In Joseph 2. And that will be lesson 412 on July 6, 2024. So next week, we will continue with part 6 of our lesson in Joseph 2. If you have any other questions besides these parts, dear one, you may be able to either send it for review and research, or you can hold it till we get back together. If anyone of the dear Remnant family would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic. May you unmute your mic, dear ones, to be able to do so.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for giving us the ability to come and to gather together again once more. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you have given upon us. Lord Jesus, please help us to keep our eyes stayed on you, Lord, and help us to focus on Calvary if we have any doubt of your love. Be with the, thank you for the little children and their participation. Thank you for their parents as well. Be with us as we go to the second half of the service. We want to pray a special prayer for our dear brother Bob as he heals and get well. We pray, Father Jesus, that you give him complete healing and speedy healing as well. Bless and keep us and continue to bless us in this blessed Sabbath day. Be with the speaker. Give him her the words that will be speaking, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from a spirit prophecy book entitled Prophets and Kings, page 83, paragraph 1. And the scripture is from Isaiah 33, verse 6 from the King James Version, and it reads, "And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure." And our quote, "Fear is the only safeguard for individual integrity, for the purity of the home, the well-being of society, or the stability of the nation. Amid all life's perplexities and dangers and conflicting claims, the one safe and sure rule is to do what God says. The statutes of the Lord are right, and he that does these things shall never be moved." Quoted from Psalms 19, verse 18, also chapter 15, verse 5. Dear ones, may you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath until we meet again for the next section of our services. God bless everyone.